Yeah.
May even insert like a clip that, hey, it gets a little choppy, but just fucking listen to it anyway, because it's gold. Welcome back to Ground Zero Fitness Podcast. This is episode 40. We're honored to have our first female coach on the podcast today. Who you are going to find out is a total badass. For a decade, she's trained women to be stronger, fitter, more lighthearted, and a positive influence on people around them. She hones in on helping women train through transitions in their lives. So menstruation, fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, menopause. I'm going to share with you a list of qualifications here to get you listening. She is one of few women to serve and train in the U.S. Navy Special Operations EOD, which is Explosive Ordnance Disposal. And that is pretty badass. She has a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. She's a certified strength and conditioning specialist, precision nutrition level one coach, a CrossFit level two trainer, certified prenatal and postpartum strength coach. She's educated in physical therapy and injury rehabilitation and has coaching experience in Europe, India, and the United States. And she even owns her own little private training studio in Las Vegas. So I can't even think of a better list of qualifications there to help women get stronger and more healthy and achieve their fitness goals. So welcome to the show, Chief of Spec Ops in the Empire of Women's Health, Coach Ingrid Pauline. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Sam and Kyle. Thank you guys so much for having me. I must admit, when you put it all together, it does sound rather impressive.
Could you give us a little bit of a background on, you know, how you grew up and how you ended up in the EOD unit in the U.S. Navy and how you got into coaching from there? I find that to be a fantastic story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So how I grew up relatively unusual. My mom was the primary breadwinner in our family. So she was typically out working. And my dad, he was a general contractor. And he later actually got like a PhD in linguistics. But he got that after we were born. So he was, when my mom had just given birth to me, my dad actually got in a pretty bad injury. Akin to professional sports, like manual day laboring, like it yields a lot of injuries. So when I was a baby, he was like rehabbing a pregnancy, and then she was quickly pregnant. And then, so my dad just became, she was pregnant for the third time. So my dad just became the stay-at-home parent. And I grew up with my dad and my two brothers. And I grew up doing a lot of yard work. So like hard physical labor was just something we did like every Saturday. And I was always just kind of expected to like keep up with what the family was doing. Like, and there were no real like gender roles. It was like, this is what we're doing today. Like today we're cleaning the house, or today we're re-landscaping the backyard, or today we're going to the job site and cleaning up or wiring. We're wiring the house, or we're cleaning up the job site, or framing. So I was just expected to keep up, like no matter what it was. I thought that was completely normal, because whatever happens when you're a kid, you think it's completely normal. But now, I mean, that's like, I realized like how, especially after I got out of the military and into college, when I took my first required gender studies class, I realized how unusual my perspective on the world was. Because nobody ever told me, you cannot do that because you're a girl. Like you can't, like, it was always, no, this is the task that needs to be done. Either you can do it or you can't. That's it. And it was like that in the military too. So, So once I, went through my teen years, I was always pretty industrious. I had a job or two, all the way through high school. And then, I batted around, made some mistakes, and joined the military. And I had exceptional, what they call line scores, which is a cluster of scores on the ASVAB that dictate like spatial reasoning and problem solving, mechanics, electricity. Like I just had a lot of like very specific skills, and I scored high enough on the ASVAB that made me a really good special operations candidate. And so I signed up EOD. I ended up going aircrew for a while and then switched over to EOD. And I I have to be very clear about this. I was never like, I never fully completed EOD training. I went like very far through, and then I ended up, what actually brought me to training was that I, for 2.5 years, I put myself through hell, like literally 7 days a week. I was working out at least 2 or 3 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I was doing these very intense recovery programs, like ice baths and like hard massage, and like just trying to like reading absolutely everything I could about how to like keep up as like a good athlete. Because like I was doing really, really well. Like I was in the top 15% physically, and I was in the top 10% academically. And I always knew that because I was the only woman on the team. I was like in 2006, I was like the 8th woman to qualify for the program, and it had been open for 15 years. So, and that's to qualify for the program. Now, because CrossFit has been around for 20 years, we get these fantastically strong women that have been doing blind pull-ups, and they've been like squatting 250 pounds and running, and like the caliber of women that go into that program now is completely different than it was when I joined. Like I was an absolute anomaly. Like I could do 55 push-ups in 2 minutes. I could do 6 pull-ups. I could swim 500 yards. Like I was an anomaly. So, I'm like a little talking about everything here. So I served 2.5 years in the special operations community, and I unfortunately, I got my aircrew wings, but I unfortunately never got my EOD badge. But the lessons that I learned from being in EOD, just about my own strength, about what it takes, about how to manage a crew, about leadership, about being a good follower, about being a good leader, about like just what it needs to take to survive in high stress situations, has followed me everywhere I go. Absolutely. So I got out of the military. I went back to school. I wanted to be a business major, but I thought that I would probably explode going from airport to airport and office to office. So I decided science was my deal. After my mom talked me out of being a doctor, she was like, you're not going to help anybody if you're a doctor. Like, that's just not the way medicine's going. Okay. So I started getting into fitness, and then fast forward, I graduated from school. And then I went and traveled. I backpacked through India, and I was doing like a volunteer backpacking thing, but I was teaching fitness classes, and we would go to these places, and we would have a question and answer hour. And since I was like kind of the only scientist of the group, I would like teach them about like anatomy and health and the lungs and kidneys and all this stuff, how the brain works. And then we do a little fitness classes and stuff. And I went to Berlin, and I kind of like ran away. I didn't come back. And I was sort of batting around. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself. I wasn't really feeling coaching, because at the time coaching was just paying so little. And I was a CrossFit. I mean, I had been a CrossFit coach for a while, and I was just sort of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But then I got a call that was a former colleague of my mom. We had done an exchange year way back in this was 2013. We had done an exchange year in Berlin. My whole family, we'd moved there for a year. And one of her colleagues that she taught ended up, he called me and he asked me, like, hey, you've had experience in physical therapy. I worked in physical therapy the whole time through my university years. And he was like, I'm looking for somebody to start rehabbing, like to train and like rehab, like the women who just give birth. We've got a lot of like diplomats' wives, and it's just an international city, Berlin, Germany. Right. And so I was like, yeah, I can totally train rich diplomat wives at home after they have a baby. That's totally within my wheelhouse. It's fine. And I started looking into the training, and it was a lot like physical therapy. And then I realized how underserved women were in the fitness community with their specific issues. We're overserved in like weight loss and detox stuff and like all this bullshit, like get rid of cellulite. And sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but
do it, let it rip.
It's gonna happen. Yeah. So we're overserved in all this like fitness bullshit, which is very aesthetic and very like based on a lot of lies. But we are underserved in the issues that actually mean something to us. Like, how to repair your pelvic floor and core after birth, how to adjust your nutrition and fitness when you're going from having your period to menopause, right? How to adjust these. And then I found out that there's one of the hugest issues is actually training in sync with your cycle, and that there, because of our hormonal fluxes, we are actually times that we are better set up to build muscle and to perform well, whereas there are times that we're better set up to partake in more like recovery and cardio activities. And so I just started digging around, and I was just like, I'll be fucking damned, man. Like, I thought back to my time in the military and that day, like, I will literally never forget the moment where I could not make it and I knew I couldn't make it. I had been outdoing the guys in so many ways and impressing everybody for 2.5 years. And we went on a morning run and I felt like my legs were made of molasses. Like I could not move. And I saw my whole team run by me, like, and I was just like, and I just started to cry. I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying in front of all these guys. But it was like, I was so isolated. I was the only woman. I didn't drink. I was like, I made sure to keep myself safe and like keep a good reputation, because like, dude, if you're a female in the military, like your reputation is the best thing you have and you have to protect it. Right. So I like didn't get involved in anybody there. I didn't put myself in any weird situations where I was out with somebody or drinking with somebody or talking to somebody. And so I was just so isolated. And then it felt like 2 years of tears just started coming down my face and my whole body just stopped moving. And in that day, like I couldn't do one pull up. I could do like 5 push-ups. I couldn't even run half. It was 9:30 in the morning and my body completely broke down. And I had to go see the chaplain, and he just basically like listened to like a bunch of like blubbering, like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, okay. Anyway, but I was just thinking about all that. And I was just like, I'll be damned. Like, that's what happened. It's like, I was so exhausted from deep in my bones. Like, I was like, no recovery. I had been ignoring all of the signals that my body had given me. I wasn't training. I was just giving 110% on 110% of the days. And I was like, I will bet you that's what fucking happened to me. Like, just all that pressure. You know, and like giving myself no soft days, no days to like cry in bed or just like nap extra or anything like that. I was like, I gotta fucking be the best because everybody's looking at me. Everybody's expecting me to fail. So anyway, so fast forward. So I just started, so I just started doing a lot of I first went into the postpartum fitness world, and then I just started really honing in on training your menstrual cycle with your training cycle and just sort of like being cognizant of that. Because I believe that like a lot of women I meet, especially really determined ones, like they can definitely outwork a man, but they can't outwork a man every single day. And that's okay. You know, like there are days where we're 110 or 150%. And there are days where we're clocking in at a solid 68, you know, and that's okay. That's totally okay. But you know, it's my mission to teach women that like how to use this cycle to their benefit, because every single phase has its benefits and every single phase has its uses. It's my mission to make sure that they just eat better, train better, and perform better in sync with their natural cycles.
That was awesome. I'm that much more interested and intrigued in everything that has to do with it.
Oh, cool. I don't think as a coach, I'm so trained to let other people talk and like me just listen. I'm sitting there like the red flags if you've been talking too long went off like 50 times.
This is a little different because we're on a podcast. I know it's a little interesting to have I guess like for all of us to just like let you talk or let the guests talk the entire time and just listen to what they have to say. It's a little different than coaching calls.
People have been listening to our dumb asses for the last 39 episodes. So it's like, but yeah, that's really good. So I kind of want to, you mentioned on your website, that like you didn't have any training guidance at all for like the first 20 years of your life. I'm assuming until you got into the military or there was a little bit of it going on there. And you specifically said like, I didn't have this because I am a woman. I was a woman. I am a woman. And it's like, how could more resources for women from an early age really start making an impact on them and set them up for having the those healthy lifestyle transitions that you were talking about?
Yeah, that is such a fantastic question. And I literally don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. So that's great. Well, I have to say that it's honestly, a lot of it is due to my age. Like, just like when I was a teenager, women would, like older women, like middle-aged women would say to me, they're like, wow, we just didn't have that when I was a kid. Like girls couldn't really play sports. Right. And here I was, I had a whole lot of sporting opportunities because of Title IX, all those things, like they were open to me. But one of the things that was missing was that in almost every single sport that the guys played, there was a strength training component next to it. Like the guys always went to the weight room. And I was talking to a couple of women that I had actually graduated high school with, and they said that in the basketball teams, they went to the weight room, but nobody really taught them what to do. I assumed that they had a female basketball coach and they didn't have a weightlifting coach. So they were just, you know, they were getting subpar instruction in the weight room of what to do. And it was mostly just a time where chicks like probably did quarter reps on the bench, on the leg press, and then did a bunch of machines, right? Because there was nobody really there to teach them the proper way to lift. One of the fantastic things about men and their desire to improve themselves is that there's like a lot of bro science out there. And when I was in high school and when I was younger, like it was bro science, but like, at least you got something. Like a lot of bro science is rooted in like facts and like actual, like intuitive knowledge of like how the body works. Right. Like I read this book, Eugene Sandow, Strength and How to Obtain It. And he's like the godfather. He's the grandfather of all personal trainers. He was like truly the first bodybuilder, and he would do feats of strength, and he was like posed for marble statues and stuff. And he wrote a book about strength. And in that book, he is talking about from 1892, he is talking about things that we have proven to be true through science. Like, that's amazing. So that's like bro science, right? So like you guys got a lot of that. And like, luckily now I talk to high school girls, and luckily there's a lot more weightlifting in like the sports programs. But I have to say like I was in contact just a couple of years ago, cause I wanted to give some talks about like health and nutrition and weightlifting for the young female athlete. And I was talking to my old school, and I came from a relatively affluent school. And so they have the money. They actually like, they still have the money to have like a PE program and sports program. And they actually had a strength and conditioning room with a strength and conditioning program, which is like literally 90% of the battle. If you can just get kids into the weight room, whether it's boy or girl, and get them with quality instruction, they're going to learn it. And if they learn that every single sport can be enhanced with weightlifting, with free weights, with strength training, then they're much better off for better performance. They'll do, they'll learn more about their bodies. They'll be more interested in different kinds of fitness. But unfortunately, like that is an outlier in a school district that has enough money that the parents can donate to other causes. In different school districts where there's not as much money, like, what are you going to do? You know, I think working in conjunction with YMCAs is a really fantastic idea, because a lot of times there are YMCAs in underserved areas and they have a full gym all the time. So I think working with YMCAs, other like sort of like rec centers, if like the school can get a program where kids are exposed to strength training and they get quality instructors, that is key. The exposure, like just having a facility that they can go and lift at is fantastic. Be the quality of instruction. Now we know so much more about weightlifting and movement skills and movement abilities. And then also, like, I was in CrossFit. Like, I started doing CrossFit in 2007 when it was like only weirdos. Like it was like fringe people and spec ops guys. In fact, I saw it because two Army Rangers were doing this workout, and I was like, what the fuck is that? It looks like so much fun. But then I saw it, since I was with it, I saw it just blow up and spread around the world like herpes. Like, it was like, by 2013, it was everywhere. And it was unbelievable. But it made such a difference for how we thought about training philosophies. Like people will talk shit on CrossFit, and not that I'm like a CrossFit prophet or anything like that, but it changed the way that we look at women and their athletic abilities. It changed the way that we think what is attractive in women. We find health, fitness, muscles, and physical capability more attractive in women now, more so than any other time in history. And then we also, it also had us thinking about, community, but also movement skills. Instead of just training like back and biceps on, and then doing like chest and all those body splits, we think about what is the hip hinge pattern? What is like being able to touch from the ground to overhead, being able to do a full depth squat, being able, we thought about movement patterns, and like movement patterns are the most important key to fitness. It's not back and buys. It's not a training split. It's not how much protein. It's like, are you able to get up from the floor as quickly as you possibly can? Those are burpees. I will defend to the death a burpee. And I know it's bullshit and I know they hurt and they fucking suck. But you know what? They're useful, because the number one thing that people lose when they get older is the ability to get off the ground by their own goddamn self. Like, that's the first thing I train with any of my older clients. I'm like, show me, like, get down on the floor, lay flat, and then get back up as quickly as you can. And let me tell you also, in a tactical situation, when you are outfitted with 35 pounds of gear, of bullets, of a flak vest, of a backpack, of a rucksack, you fucking know who trains burpees and who doesn't. Like that, you can tell immediately. You get shot out and then they got to run. You know who's training burpees, okay? So it's like, these things are so important. So we've got exposure to the stimulus here. By exposure to, kids can benefit from exposure to being in the free weight area of the section. And however we get that, whether you partner with a YMCA program or there's some at your school, or you can get donations. And then the quality of instruction, right? And then the third one is just sort of general knowledge. Like, I think speaking specifically to women, to young women, I think the health class we have on our period is garbage. It always has been garbage. It hasn't changed in the 25 years since I took it. Like we talk about your menstruation as just the 5 days that you bleed and then that's it. And nobody tells you really, they tell you what a normal period looks like, but they don't tell you what a healthy period looks like. They don't tell you where to get help. They don't tell you what can go wrong. They don't tell you what any of these things mean. And half of these women just wander around just thinking that they're cursed because they just fucking bleed, like literally like a curse. Like if something went around and just started bleeding from its eyeballs for 5 days a month, you'd be like, oh, they're definitely cursed. But like, if it's like, there's a reason why we do this, there's markers of a healthy menstruation cycle. And there's we need to know this information. And if women could understand what their body needs and what it's going through and the markers of a healthy period, an unhealthy period, how to troubleshoot it and where to get help without being put on birth control, because that's like the number one cure for all menstruation in allopathic medicine is like, let's chemically castrate you and put you on birth control. Sounds like a good idea. That's not acceptable. It's not right. I think it's medical abuse. And so if we just get these women like information, the more that they know about their body, the more they can take care of their body, and the more that we can prevent women from having hormonal issues in their late 30s and 40s, or even in their early 30s, we're seeing this earlier and earlier, we can get them to live healthier, better lives and have this long pattern of like just being cognizant of your overall health and the signals that your body is giving you.
What is a healthy menstruation cycle for girls, and how do you go about optimizing it in your lifestyle?
Yeah. So, okay. These questions have so many parts. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to keep talking. Okay. No, this is a really fantastic question. So first let's talk about a healthy menstruation. So, we always use this 28 day cycle, which is fine and dandy and lovely, but really a normal, healthy cycle falls within the range of anywhere from 22 days to 35 days. And by that, I mean, from the first day of menstruation all the way through the cycle until the next first day of menstruation. So from 22 to 35 days, anything out of that is sort of an indication, like go to your doctor. It's an indication that there's a couple things that are going on that probably need to be fixed. Also, markers of a healthy menstruation also have markers of ovulation. This is actually like the most important part. This is how you can tell if your period is, if your menstrual cycle itself is healthy, is that if you're ovulating. There are a number of ways that you can tell that you're ovulating. The best way is to, you take, there's like cervical fluid changes. You have to take note of those around like the middle of your cycle, but you can also, especially like if you're trying to get pregnant and stuff, you take your temperature. What happens when women go all the way up to ovulation, they actually, after they ovulate, their temperature actually increases by a fraction of a degree, which speeds up the metabolism. And we always hear these like period craving things. So what that is actually is, well, A, it might be some sort of a nutrient deficiency. And that's sort of a universal rule for any nutrition. If you have a craving for one particular food, you're usually deficient in a nutrient that this food is giving. So we always hear that stuff about chocolate. Well, cacao, not only does it release dopamine and serotonin, and I'm talking about cacao, of course the sugar does, but I'm talking about just cacao and chocolate itself. It released dopamine and serotonin. In fact, a lot of like indigenous American tribes use it as a drug and they would get high on it. Cause you do get a little like, when you consume a lot of cacao. But also if you're somebody who craves a lot of chocolate, that's like one of the best signs of a magnesium deficiency. So I always recommend like a magnesium and also zinc supplement for a lot of my ladies that are having period issues. Yeah. So we've got ovulation. Oh, what I was going to say about that is that, so the increase in temperature in body temperature, the increased basal metabolic rate too. So, it increases your temperature and it actually increases the amount of calories that you burn every single day. So after ovulation, women will typically burn about 200 calories, give or take a few more a day. And then, so we go through ovulation and then they're just sort of eating normally for that next week. And then boom, you have one more week, right? You ovulate, you have 2 weeks to the next period. You're 200 more calories a day for this first week. And then all of a sudden cravings hit at this week. Well, what happened? Like you didn't adjust your nutrition through this week after ovulation to account for those missing calories, right? So now you're in a 1200 calorie deficit. And then like, hello, like who would be hungry and eating extra stuff if they're missing an extra 1200 calories that they didn't account for, right? So cravings are usually, it's a combination of our sped up metabolic rate, a nutrient deficiency, as in we're craving and we're trying to get things that we are needed for our health. And then B, also, if you, if eating is the way that you cope with emotions, heightened emotions, right? So so there's that. So we've got, what is it? The length of a healthy period. We've got ovulation to mark a healthy period that you're having a menstrual cycle. And then we've got fluid volume. So best way to figure out fluid volume is through a menstrual cup, not a tampon or anything like that. It's through a menstrual cup. And you can see the consistency. You can check out the volume. Most cups hold an ounce or an ounce and a half of fluid. And that's the best way, because a normal, happy and healthy period will have you shedding about half an ounce to almost 2 ounces of fluid, okay? If it's anything less than that or anything more than that, then we know that we need to see somebody. So there's fluid, ovulation, and then, oh yeah, and then menstruation itself. A really healthy period is almost painless. Like you might have a little bit of cramping, you might have a little bit of like breast tenderness or sensitivity, but if these things are painful, if you are knocked out by your PMS symptoms, that is a severe indication that something is wrong. The American Association of Gynecology calls our menstrual cycle the fifth vital sign. Think about that. So you have like heart rate, blood pressure, I don't remember the other two, and your period. But that's like, but if you think about it, like your period is just as important as your heart rate and blood pressure to your health, as like they're of equal importance. And I think that like, I was never told that until I started looking at this myself. And I think that that is so vital that we talk about this. It's so important that women need to know, like, if they're having severe migraines or breast tenderness or really bad cramping that takes them out for a couple of days, like, this is not good. This is not normal. This is not healthy. But also, you do have solutions. Like, there's, like, you have a right to a healthy and happy painless period. And like, it's not hard to get. It takes some time, it takes some self-awareness, but it's not hard. Yeah.
So. Fantastic. This is everything we wanted from you. Yeah, expanding on these topics. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the second part, that was just the first part of your question. You guys are asking like the deepest. All right. So the second part of your question is, what are the phases of the menstrual cycle? Okay. So we have four phases and they all cognate. I always say they cognate with the natural cycle of lightness and darkness or the natural cycle of the seasons. Okay, so you know how we have spring, summer, fall, and winter? That's the same. And then we have the waxing moon, the full moon, the waning moon, and the dark moon. Well, we have, we'll start at the beginning, which is menses, which is the dark moon, which is winter. And after that, you have pre-ovulation, which is springtime, which is the waxing moon. And that's, springtime and the waxing moon. Then we've got ovulation, the full moon, summer. And then after that is premenstrual, which is fall, the waning moon, and ever going to darkness, right? So let's start out with menses just because that's day one of the cycle. So this is a time for, so if we take our 28-day cycle and we divide it into four, that gives us 7 days for each one of these. That means our menses phase is going to last a week. This is not normally how long menstruation is. Usually we bleed from about 2 to 5 days. But, and the first 2 days being the heaviest, 1 to 3 days being the heaviest. Okay. So this is a time for reflection. It is a full stop. It is the dead of winter. Okay. This is a time to think about like forgiveness, let things go. The first 2 days of the period, I always say take completely off, at least the first day. And while many women, they don't have it, like, they're just like, oh, I'm menstruating, I'm not going to come into work today. You can give as little as you can, just like low crawl, bare minimum through your workday, and then go home and take a nap, you know, like just get everything. Like if you have kids, you just pick up some chicken on the way home and like, that's it. Like, right. Just give yourself a psychological rest. Like don't put any expectations on yourself. Know that this is your body signal to stop completely, full stop. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Right. And then the rest of this week is going to be a stop mark, and then it goes into a slow ramp up into normal speed. So let's say we take the first 2 days off, the next 2 days is like modified, and then we just slowly ramp back up to normal phase by the end of that 7 days. Then the next we've got pre-ovulation. This is the time when women are fit the most within our standard expectations of productivity, of work, of energy, and attitude. This is when we're in our masculine. This is marked by its active and social energy. Menses was withdrawn and passive energy. So we go into the pre-ovulation, and this is a time to just like work. If you're going to give 110 to 150%, it is pre-ovulation and ovulation. Like this is the times that we clear to-do lists, plan ahead, figure out what projects we're going to accomplish for our, for the rest of the cycle. Then we go into ovulation, and this is the most feminine. This is the full moon. This is what we think about the ideal feminine self. She is soft, beautiful, nurturing, all those good things, right? And this is actually when there are hormonal changes to make your skin glow, to make your voice sexier, to like make you feel like you're hotter than a tin roof on a hot day. All that stuff, because this is when testosterone and estrogen is peaking in our body. We have increased libido, but we also have increased performance. So if you're weightlifting, lifting heavy and hard through these 2 weeks through pre-ovulation and ovulation, that's the way to go. Because we also have these anabolic hormones of estrogen and testosterone. These are the times when we're best to build muscle. Okay. And then we have the last one, the premenstrual phase, the villain of all the phases, but actually it's not that bad. Whereas ovulation was marked by passive energy and social energy. She wants to be out there, wants to give, wants to let the world like nurture the world, and she's like emotionally receptive. These are good times to have a talk. Then we get to the premenstrual phase, and that is a withdrawn but active energy. So if you think about that, it's withdrawn. You don't really want to be around anybody, but you're active. You want to get stuff done. So think about it. That's a very tense energy, right? This is the time when we're best just left alone with our projects. This is the time that's actually good for, we're going to take it down a notch in the weightlifting area. We want to just lift for maintenance. We've got progesterone, which is more of a catabolic hormone. We've got a little bump in estrogen towards the end there, but we don't have really much testosterone, and we have progesterone, which is a catabolic hormone, because we're getting ready to shed the uterine lining, right, for menstruation. So this is a time that is really fantastic for like metcons, metabolic conditionings, where you think like squats and kettlebell swings, burpees and deadlifts, like anything that has you lifting for maintenance, but then also a bit of cardio component. In my bro lifting super setting stuff, I like to like just put like a 30 seconds of like air bike sprints in between my supersets during this time, just to give it a more like cardio like component. But basically what we're doing is we're operating at 90% for 80% of the duration. So we want to cut our workouts a little bit short, and we want to give it a good college try, but not go all out. And this is the best thing, because like whatever you give, where we have an abundance of energy in the first half of our cycle, we have a diminishing energy in the latter half in the premenstrual. So I always advise women to just sort of like to kick it back a notch, because whatever you give in your workout, it's going to take away from your creative or social projects. Okay. So that's kind of how it goes. So we have like this like building phase and this like burning phase.
Gotcha. That's an absolutely fantastic answer. And I hope people kind of, from like a female perspective and a male perspective, just knowing that, you know, especially if you're a couple and you train together or whatever, I think that's really powerful knowledge, especially structuring out your training. And, you know, if you're the guy in there with your wife or your girlfriend and she's dragging, you can actually understand why. So appreciate you going into depth there. I was doing, again, like I've said a few times, I was doing digging on your website, and something that stuck out to me was you mentioned that like helping the nutrition and fitness of a new mother can potentially help the nutrition or fitness of like 2 to 3 generations after that. And I found that really fascinating, and something that I don't think a lot of people think of. So can you expand on that a little bit for us?
I think it's wonderful that you picked up on that, because what I learned about helping women, and especially new mothers, is that no matter how you feel about them, like gender roles exist, and we should just work with them rather than rebel against them. Okay. You might be in a particular household where like a man does most of the cooking. If so, awesome. I have no, whatever, however it works with you. 80% of the people that cook in homes are the matriarch of the family. It's the woman in charge. Okay. And that's just a fact. And what I learned is that, especially when women start having babies, is that like whatever they're cooking for their baby starts influencing a lot more on everybody around them. So it's like, I mean, the best thing that can happen to a man's diet usually is getting married, because women are just more health conscious and they tend to cook. And yeah, and they're just like more thinking about how to nurture and foster like excellence out of people and things, right? So when we have a woman who has a baby, if I teach women to cook and I teach them the basics of nutrition, what they do is they take that cooking, and that's how they end up cooking for their families. And it's a proven fact that like however you grew up eating is your tendency of how you're going to eat as you age, right? So that's why when people are eating severely unhealthy and they start getting like a visceral fat, they start getting fatter on their midsection as a child, especially when you go through puberty, like this is very unhealthy. If you look at older women who were husky and overweight as a child, they tend to gain weight in kid places, so around the middle, and they don't necessarily gain weight in woman places, which is in the breasts, in the butt, and the thighs. And that's because it fundamentally alters your hormones as you go through puberty, right? So yeah, that's why it's like especially dangerous for small children to grow up overweight and go through puberty overweight, because it fundamentally alters how your body ages and how it gains weight and how it matures as you get older. So I've just found that if we can teach women what's healthy and how to cook it, then their children are going to grow up with an innate sense of what's healthy. And then they'll probably teach their kids to eat healthy. And that's what I mean about that. And we all know families typically grow exponentially, right? They grow out in a fan shape. So I think it's really fantastic if I can just teach all moms how to eat healthy, because then that means that their grandchildren are probably going to be eating healthy.
From a training perspective, I'm assuming that also would make an impact.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. You can't out-train a bad diet. You never can. You never will. Like, that's all I have to say about that. It's foolish to try to do that. And also it's like, if you want to cut back on like PMS symptoms, like cramping and migraines and tender breasts and heavy bleeding, like eat healthy. Like, sugar is like the number one inflammatory food that we consume on a regular basis. And I'll tell you what, like, I know the difference of like when I've been eating sugar that cycle and when I have it. My PMS is so much worse. And like, that's 90% of the work that I do with women who come to me with hormone problems is like, okay, well, let's get all the bullshit out of your diet, but also let's stop exposing ourselves to xenoestrogens, like the plastics and lotions and water bottles, stop microwaving stuff in plastics. But that's kind of that's a much deeper topic. But honestly, like 70 to 80% of your discomfort comes from of your hormonal discomfort comes from a poor diet.
Yeah, 100% agree. Can we talk a little bit more about like strength training and weight training and the acceptance of that within female culture? Because nowadays it seems like it is more accepting for girls to work out, but there is a lot of BS and misinformation with what girls are given compared to what guys are given. Like you talked about earlier, guys are given the bro science stuff. Well, girls are for some reason, they're always given like the full body workouts, and like 80% of the workouts are abs, or they're just given wrong information and body weight workouts more than weight training and resistance training. Why is that the case?
Remember that book I mentioned that was written in 1892? It had a whole chapter reassuring women that they would not get bulky if they lifted weights. Like, think about that for a second. Over 100 years ago, I'm starting to believe that women just make this bullshit up in their brain. They're just like, oh, if a man lifts weights, he gets bulky. If I weight lift, I'm going to get bulky. But they don't understand that men have 7 to 40 times the amount of testosterone in their bodies. And it's testosterone that's going to make them bulky. All right. It sounds really mean, but I've actually just stopped talking to women who think that, because I'm like, my job is not to convince you. I can't explain the basics of biology to everybody. I have a specific set of skills. If you want to ask me other questions, I'm here for it. But that is something that they have to come. I don't know how to stop that. It's been going on for over 100 years at least. Okay. But I just think, you know, I don't know, because typically women have, I mean, just, you know, there are different archetypes of women. Like, I am very much an Artemis and an Athena. Like, I'm not too much of an Aphrodite. Like, I'm, you know, I'm like, I love like challenge and intellectual discourse and discussion and like being off on my own. And I appreciate that. Whereas many, you know, growing up, I noticed pretty quick that I was very unique in that sense, that most women were others oriented and they wanted to conform and they wanted things to be easy and they wanted to look feminine and soft at all costs. And I was sitting there always thinking about like, well, if I had to defend myself in this situation, if I have to do this, you know, but like, that's, I just have more of a warrior mindset. So there's like, one thing is like, you can't just change all women, but like you can start to give them good information. And I think it goes back to teaching them how to lift weights in school and giving them good information about their hormone cycles. But like, you know what, like, the cross between CrossFit being on the rise and the invention of Instagram really did a fantastic thing for women and women's health. Like, I mean, do I see a lot of girls doing dumb butt stuff in the gym? Yes, I do. But you know what? That it's about twice. It's probably, I don't know, like a literally a 1000% increase in the number of women in the free weight section that I've seen when I was in my young 20s and late teens. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, women are going to the gym to lift weights right now. And that is like so insanely fantastic. And I'm so happy for that. And like, yeah, I think half the stuff they do is crap, but you know what? You get one good instructor in there and like that changes, you know? And like you get one person that they talk to and that changes. And if they understand that men have 7 to 40 times testosterone than they do, like maybe how they think about free weights, lifting weights, and what it does to your body will change.
That was a great standpoint you had, because I know a lot of people, like, yes, there's a lot of mistakes that are being made, but the most important thing is to get people in the gym in the first place. The thing about exercises that girls do for their butts is the exact same thing as guys doing for their biceps, like the useless bicep curls that we talked, Sam and I talk about all the time on the podcast, where there are more exercises that are just much more optimal for strength training and optimizing muscle growth. It's definitely the exact same. There's the exact same way that females look at training the butt, the glutes all the time and how to get that bigger. So it's pretty much like the exact same thing that guys and girls both deal with.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
So we'll put you, we can wrap it up here in a couple minutes, but we always kind of like to end with some, either misconceptions that we see online or that kind of thing. But something I did want to ask you is, say you got a 35-year-old soccer mom. She comes into your training studio. She's never done any lifting, done any training in her life. Like, where do you start with her, getting her into proper training?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, honestly, it's literally the exact same way that I teach everybody who comes into my gym, which is the 6 movement patterns: push, pull, knee dominant, hip dominant, carry, and loaded carry. And I'm blanking on it right now. Doesn't make me sound too.
I'm trying to work back the ones you said.
Yeah, so it's
push, pull, vertical push.
No.
It's knee dominant, hip hinge.
Knee dominant, hip.
yeah. Knee dominant, hip hinge, loaded carry. Right.
There we go. Yeah. Something.
5 solid good ones too. Right. Oh, anti-rotation. Teach her the basics. Like, this is the proper squat technique. This is the proper pull technique. This is proper hip hinge. And like, honestly, this is my process through every single person that comes through my gym, because our needs don't they only vary by degree. Right. And that's a very famous quote from Greg Glassman. All of our bodies need the exact same thing. They need the same movement pattern. And the only difference is that they vary by degree. Everybody needs to know how to get off the floor. Everybody needs to have a weighted carry. Everybody needs to have a squat. Everybody needs to have a push pull. So I just like hammer in the technique over and over. I mean, of course we talk about goals, but my primary goal is for her to get moving correctly. Cause I don't expect to, my goal also as a coach is to make sure that everything that I teach her, she can take with her wherever she goes. So we talk a lot about like how to build a program, how to build a good workout, where you can work out, how often you should do it, like how to modify it when you travel, all that stuff. Because like the best thing I can do is somebody is like, yeah, dude, I spent 2 years with Ingrid Pauline and like she taught me everything I needed to know about health, fitness, and movement. Like, that's the fucking greatest thing. If I can, in 2 years, I will have changed somebody's life so that they can go live another 60, completely healthy, happy, and mobile, being able to troubleshoot their own health. That's like, that's the biggest win ever, you know? So that's what I do.
So you already addressed the lifting weights make you bulky thing. We had already touched on how lifting weights, you know, like the lifting weights make you bulky. thing for women. So what are like some common diet misconceptions that women fall prey to that you see often, even with clients coming in?
Oh, literally any diet food. If it has diet food, then don't eat it. That's it. You hear me?
Yep, we hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, but like if it comes in a package, like chuck it in the fuck it bucket. Like it's bullshit, you know? Like
yeah.
and like if I could have like, I'm like a one woman army against non-fat yogurt. It's like, please don't. Like the caloric difference is so little, and like full fat yogurts are like, they're so satisfying and they're so nutritious, and like why for calories? Like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and the 12 to 1300 calorie a day diet. That's enough calories for an 8-year-old boy, and grown women need a lot more than that. And I always advise against like MyFitnessPal routinely puts my clients 300 to 600 calories below what they need to be, like in their suggested calorie counter. And it pisses me off to no end, because like, unless you're like under 5 feet and you just sit at a desk all day, you need more than 1300 calories. So yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Another big like key word I hear with girls and dieting is the term like antioxidants. That's one thing I never hear with guys, but with girls, they're always talking about antioxidants and stuff like that. What's with this key word, and why do all girls just kind of seem to rush in that direction of eating foods with antioxidants?
Yeah. And it's especially weird because like literally almost everything you eat with color has antioxidants in it. And it's like, those are just like, they just attach to free radicals to get radiation out of your body. But you can get that from grounding yourself, just like standing barefoot on moist grass, like, you know. So I don't know why. I think it's like this idea that maybe they want to like, they're trying to chase like cleansing and perfection. A lot of women try to do these like special diets and cleanses in lieu of lifting weights. But it's like every time they show me, they're like, hold up a magazine. They're like, I want to look like her. And all they've done is like detox teas and like butt exercises and cardio. I'm like, dude, this bitch lifts weights like 8 hours a week. Like, I don't, you know? So, I mean, I always have a talk. I usually don't get very, like, honestly, I don't get very like ignorant women, not in like an insulting, like you're dumb or you're stupid, just like ignorant. You just like, don't know what you're talking about because you don't know better. I don't get a lot of those women, which is really good, because the women that gravitate towards me tend to be extremely frustrated with what all, like everything that they've tried. You know what I mean? Like I get women that are like, my period is wrecking my life. I get women with Hashimoto's, with PCOS. I get women who have just had a baby and they've like have already lived a healthy, fit lifestyle, but they don't know how to like repair their body. Like I get a very like specific kind of woman, but I think just the general, I think it's just like this idea of like detoxes and cleanses and antioxidants and stuff. It's might be a little bit trying to like chase perfection, but also just trying to replace hard work and like that physical labor portion is something a little bit more comfortable.
If you were going to give like a list of 80-20 activities for a healthy lifestyle for females, what are some things that make that list?
Oh yeah. I had a really good list on Twitter that ended up going viral. It was like the 7 S's. It was like steak, sex, sweat, sunshine, silence, sleep. I know there is one other one. Smile. It's so easy, but you know, like if like fitness is super basic, like lift heavy things, move well, get outside, drink water, don't eat things in packages, and like make sure that you enjoy your life. Like people, I also like, I very much preach against diet and fitness routines that have you missing big chunks of your like social life If your health and fitness regimen is stealing joy from your life, is it really healthy? Like, I mean, there's one thing if you're like, yeah, it's stealing joy because you're in the first 3 weeks of not drinking or clubbing and like you're making changes, that's fine. But if it's like getting in the way of you enjoying like your sister's wedding or Christmas or like just a normal night out with people that you appreciate spending time with, or it's not leaving you with enough energy to partake in things that give us flow and joy, like doing art or riding a bicycle or creating something or whatever, woodworking, whatever projects you have. Like, I'm very much against such strict diet and fitness regimens. Cause like you read in my tagline, like, I want you to feel lighthearted and joyful. Like fitness is, it's IPA, Angry Pauline Athletics, IPA. I chose it because it reminds you of beer. Because if you're not having a good time, what's the point?
I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And you know, we're kind of closing in on that hour and a half mark, so we can wrap this thing up. Really appreciate you coming on. This was absolutely fantastic. Where can our listeners find you? I know you've got websites. You even tweet about having cycle talks, stuff like that. If they are interested in that, where can they find you?
Okay. Yeah. Angry Pauline on Twitter, on Instagram. I am Angry Pauline Athletics. You can find links to all of my courses. The best one is right now, my newest one is Cycle Fundamentals. That is fantastic information for everybody on how to cycle track, the basics of it, what you should be paying attention to, healthy periods, like all that stuff. It's like 30 pages. Well, not quite, but it's long, but it's so informational. It's so useful and it's teen friendly. So if you want to share it with your daughters, that is awesome.
Thank you awesome. Once again for being on here. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day. For the very first female guest on the podcast, you really set the standard as like really high, because I don't know how somebody can one up this one. This one was amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm flattered that you asked me. I'm happy to be here. And you guys asked seriously such fantastic questions. I felt bad that I was just talking and talking, but I guess I'm the guest. So
see, that's exactly what we wanted. Yeah. That's what we want for a podcast. We want our guests to ramble on a little more.
Good. Good. I'm so grateful. And I'm glad that I could kind of quench your thirst on, I know that, I don't know. Sometimes, yeah, I guess for your first female podcast, you're probably like, oh no, what is this going to be like? Yeah.
We were talking about like, okay, there's two bros, young bros in their 20s, who's about to interview, you know, a female coach who talks all sorts of stuff about periods and menopause and all of that stuff. It's like, how's this going to go? But made sure to do our due diligence on the questions.
Yeah. I appreciate it. You guys were so fantastic and thanks for your patience. I'm so sorry about the connection. Yeah.
No problem. It made it interesting.